Well, good evening. Wednesday, 15th of April, and day 20 of our lockdown. And I think most of us, probably all of us, longing for the season to be over. But we do need to be patient and trusting that this will certainly make things better in the long haul, in what we've been told to flatten the curve. Certainly what we want to pray for. And trust that that will unfold. Well, it's our Bible study evening this evening, and just some time that we want to spend this evening. And I've selected a psalm tonight, Psalm 46, a well-known psalm, and some of the verses will be very familiar to you. But we're going to look at the entire psalm and just see what we can take from that. What is it that God is saying to us through this particular Psalm 46. But before we get there, maybe just a couple of comments. The first is we are going to attempt again tonight to open up for questions. And so if you do have a question just relating to the Bible study, to the passage, you can shoot your question through to either Jabu or Isaac to their cell phones, and they'll get them through to me. And I'll make an attempt. Don't always guarantee that I can answer the questions. In fact, I sometimes have a favorite response in answer to some difficult questions, and it's Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, and the things revealed belong to us and our children forever. So the questions I can't answer belong to the first part of Deuteronomy 29. And then also I want to add that we do have a Central Baptist Church podcast, and you can download the podcast app, and that will then give you access to the audio files. And from the beginning of this week, or I think on the weekend's messages as well, Ryan has stripped off the audio from the video, and so it's a lot cheaper, a lot less data to use the podcast and be able to access the various things that we are doing online. And then, of course, just a reminder to you all, let's stay in touch with people as much as possible. Let's keep our community united, and also let's help each other feel like we're being cared for, that somebody takes an interest in me and of course, in others, each one of us. In the church. So let me pray and then we'll read the passage together. Lord, thank you for the scriptures again tonight and just the words from Hebrews still fresh in my mind. Your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we come this evening and Lord, looking to you by your spirit to use your word, and Lord, particularly tonight, to encourage us, to remove discouragement or despair and just anything that keeps us from seeing something of your greatness and your power and your majesty and your glory. And so do lead us together. Pray that you would help me in the words that I use, in even the sentences that I construct to communicate simply. But Lord, to seek in every single word and sentence to communicate the truth of your word to us. And so help each one of us, we pray, to the glory of your name. Amen. So Psalm 46, and let me read the passage. And I do want to read even the heading. The psalm has the heading, "To the Choir Master of the Sons of Korah, according to Elamot," and it is a song. Verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble as at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So, a few comments just to try and analyze the psalm before I try and do some sort of presentation in application. And I think probably the first comment I want to make is to see, well, what context does this psalm come from? What prompted the writing of this particular psalm? And most commentators refer back to the book of 2 Kings with a particular incident where the Assyrian king was planning and did in fact attack Jerusalem. And we read about that, and I'll just read two verses which will give you something of an idea of why this particular psalm is a song of victory, a song of God's great deliverance. And so listen to these words. I'll read from verse 32 of 2 Kings 19. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return. He shall not come into the city, declares the Lord, for I will defend the city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. And Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived at Nineveh. So do you get the idea? This is a song like we have some of these books these days. I certainly have one on my shelf that tells the story behind many of the hymns and even some of the more modern songs that we sing. God uses a particular circumstance to bring about the writing of the song, and we do it. And I thought maybe even to ask my family sitting here tonight some of the favorite songs that we sing to encourage us when we are needing to be lifted up. And so throwing it out to the audience of three, what are some of those songs that exalt God and display something of the victory and the greatness and the deliverance that God brings?
Good Father.
Right? Everybody know that song? He's a good, good Father. So sometimes if you're discouraged and you're listening to your through your earphones, that song certainly is an encouragement. One of my favorites would be What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. So a reminder, taking us to God. Come on, another one. How about someone else from the audience?
A mighty fortress is...
Carol says, a mighty fortress is our God. Of course, that great hymn written by Martin Luther, in fact, based on this particular song, God being our refuge and strength. How about another? I don't want to jump onto anybody. One family member remaining that hasn't said anything, and I don't know if she's going to say anything.
Behold our God.
Behold our God. Again, a song that just enables us or encourages us to lift our eyes to Jesus. One of my favorites also, if I could say it, one of the more recent songs would be Glorious Christ. I think when we sing that song, it stirs really deep within my own heart desire to honor the Lord and to worship Him and really feel my heart bursting a little bit in praise. So it's a song. This is what this is about, Psalm 46, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. The author or authors, the sons of Korah, to sing this particular song. There's a long history I discovered with the sons of Korah. They really started out as a bunch of baddies in rebellion to Moses. If you go back to the book of Exodus, just to get my facts right, it was the sons of Moses' cousin, Korah. But of course, generations and generations and generations later, they ended up actually leading the orchestral music within the community of faith, and particularly in the temple. So this is a song, and then of course in the analysis I did try and do my normal thing where I circled the different stakeholders, if you like, and again we see over here that there is much said about God, the Lord. And there's a sequence in the argument that unfolds, and a few divisions that I discovered as well. I would say that the first verse, in fact, is a statement of fact, having concluded on the basis of what they experienced on that particular occasion and many other occasions. And I'm sure we could testify to the same truth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That being true, he goes on in the second verse, therefore, we will not fear. And then he describes in poetic form, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains tremble at its swelling. Get the idea that this is poetic language, and essentially taking us down the description of disruption. In spite of disruption, in spite of chaos, within that, as we go through that, as we're confronted in that kind of situation, we can know, we can experience God is our refuge and strength. And I'm going to try and apply that a little bit more systematically just now. Gets to the end, and you'll notice the pause, Selah, and he goes on to change gears completely, and he begins to speak about a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, of course, again, there's a context. If those of you have been to Jerusalem, I was fortunate enough to go to Jerusalem and visit Hezekiah's tunnel. And you can look back in your Bible and you'll find that there is a river, in fact, in the Kidron Valley. Again, just want to make sure of my facts. And this river is outside of the city, but Hezekiah built a tunnel, a 600-meter tunnel, that brought the water into the city. So in the event of the city of Jerusalem being surrounded by enemies, they would never be thirsty. They'd always be able to be refreshed. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. They will not go thirsty. And then, of course, he goes on to say that this city, Jerusalem, is the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. So get the idea again of not only the physical satisfaction of their thirst being quenched, but this is the city where God has made his dwelling. And of course, we know, of course, the temple that was to be built in that place. And then again, he reaches what I would call the chorus, I suppose, or the refrain. You'll notice in verses 7 and 11, there's a repetition, and it's a good verse for us to learn. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then again, he repeats that in verse 11. But then in between those two refrains, there is an invitation in a division. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. So asking the people, inviting the people, and look what God has done, and testifying to the reality of his intervention and his greatness in bringing about victory in difficult circumstances. And perhaps an aside there, something that we ought to do more is for ourselves to be sharing testimonies of how God has been at work in our own lives, taking us through those dark patches and those deep valleys that sometimes we have to go through. He then gets to verse 10, where there is the need, he says, to be still. Be still. And so true for them singing this particular song, and for ourselves, the appeal comes, as it were, directly from God. Be still and know that I am God. Not Sennacherib, even though he claimed to be a big and great leader and accomplished certain great things in his day. Not any other leader, not any other person, not David. But for each of these singing, for Israel, as they used this hymn, this song, repeatedly down through the ages, don't forget. Be quiet. Consider the reality of the world. Consider how you rush about and how easily you forget that I am God. God is God. The Lord is God. And I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted upon the earth. Good, what we would call Hebrew parallelism there, the repeating of a thought and saying it just in different words, exalted among the nations, exalted in the earth. You can be assured of this fact, that this God that calls us to be quiet and acknowledge him, certainly will be exalted in the nations and in the earth. And then again, just the refrain again, taking great courage as the song is sung. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, having said that, now what I would do and what I have done is I would produce an application, a message. What is it that we can take from this in addition to that which we've taken from directly from the passage? And I would suggest to you that we think a little bit about different approaches to life. There is a particular approach that the psalmist is taking over here, and of course it is an approach that is trusting and resting in the greatness of God through the times and through times of difficulty. Another approach to life can be that of what we see that James, in his little book, warns some proud people about. We can have an approach to life where we think we're invincible. And let me read just the verse to you. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today and tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and vanishes. And I thought that would be a good verse to introduce this presentation with, because quite frankly, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, none of us thought or even believed we would be in lockdown. People were planning holidays. People have purchased air tickets. I know my own son in Pietermaritzburg was planning to visit us over Easter weekend. And so all these plans we're all making and we're doing, and we're thinking that life will be the same tomorrow and next month and next year. But suddenly we've come across a crisis. A crisis is coming to the world like I've never seen in my lifetime, and I'm sure most of us haven't seen before. And so, taking a step back, what do we do? How do we approach? What is my life? Am I just a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes in a moment? The point is, we are vulnerable. Each one of us is vulnerable, and even in the current crisis, this COVID-19, we're not exempt. I'm trying to be quite diligent by staying indoors. My neighbor and I had a conversation literally across the road. He shouted from his gate and I shouted from my gate, and we didn't want to get closer to each other. I don't want to get the virus, because I can get the virus. Any one of us is vulnerable. We're frail. But in the event of frailty, in the event of calamity and crisis, I would urge upon us, in application of this particular Bible study, in the light of troubles that may be ahead of us, that Psalm 46 is a far better approach to life. James, concerned with the wrong approach to life in dealing with frail or vulnerable or troubled lives, the psalmist, on the other hand, is saying, no, hang on, I've discovered the more sensible, I've discovered the more sure way to approach troubles in this life that we may encounter. And so I think the first point of application that I would make and want to make from this particular passage tonight, dear friends, you cannot cope on your own. So, so important. Yes, it is true, we need people. God has designed the very nature of relationships amongst people in the broader sense of community. We have friends, we have family. We have the local church, which is that special community of faith and connectedness where we are united together in Christ. But we need God. That's what this psalm is saying. We need help. Now, the concept of help is not difficult to grasp. If you pop in to Glen Haven, I did do a regular Bible study there, and the entrance foyer to the Bible study is filled with these Ferraris, I call them, where people drive around at Glen Haven because they can't walk around, and those who don't have Ferraris have these push carts so that they don't fall over. And the reality is they know that they need help, otherwise they're going to fall and break a hip or break a bone. And there's a need for help. We also know at Central Baptist Church we do a ministry, a feeding scheme that we seek to help those who are homeless. They need help because they can't get food. So we provide food. And the point is that through the course of our lives, we will find ourselves buckling under the load of a full spectrum of diverse difficulties. All sorts of difficulties. And maybe I should turn to my audience now, audience of three, and ask, what are some of those difficulties that people encounter in the course of life? Let's see if I get any response. Speaking in public, says my youngest daughter. She's very shy to speak in public. What about some of the other difficulties? I mean, joblessness is a reality. What about something else? Illness?
Losing a family member.
Losing a family member. Some people in our church recently have lost family members. It's a difficult reality. It's facing the difficulty of grief, being abandoned. We are in our country, and we must never think anybody's ever exempt. We were chatting this afternoon just amongst ourselves. The danger of sleepovers these days because of abuse that takes place in unsuspecting circumstances from unsuspecting people. So these are so many of the difficult circumstances: political turmoil, unrest, drought, floods, rape, assault, muggings, guilt, and of course the ultimate difficulty that we all face and will face is that of death. And so, like the psalmist, we need to sing. We need to be able to know, we need to be sure. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It may be something small, it may be something bigger, but whatever it is, there's nothing too small and there's nothing too big that God is unable to stand alongside of, come underneath, thinking of that scripture, underneath of the everlasting arms. Nothing outside of the scope of God's ability to provide help. Enabling us, and I hope even as Christians facing this particular COVID-19 catastrophe, our approach, of course, is there is a sense of uncertainty. We don't know what is ahead of us, but we do know that this is not outside of the God who not only controls all things, but the God is able to help us in our own situations. And perhaps that word refuge is a word I would want to pause on. And it is because I have learnt in the course of my years at Central Baptist Church some horrific stories from men and women who have fled from countries north of us where there has been incidences and occurrences of ethnic cleansing. You have the wrong shaped nose and you simply get wiped out, your whole family, you get killed. Other people, if you have the wrong surname, if somebody just doesn't like you, you get wiped out. And so I have encountered and still encounter men and women who come into this capital city of South Africa, Pretoria, and I hear their stories. And they're so glad, they're so grateful to find a place of safety, a place where they can find refuge, a place where they can be helped, where they're not in danger of having their throat slit at night when they're not sleeping or being tripped up on a journey or any kind of unexpected way. And so it's that sense of refuge that we find safety. We find our protection from God to carry us through the difficulties. This God who provides safety, this God who enables strength in this life, through what can be paths with many bends, many troubles along the way. Our God is unchanging. Our God is eternal. Our God is powerful. Our God is loving. Our God is compassionate. Our God is merciful. And so let us look to Him. Let us flee to Him. Let us rest in Him. There's no other real place of refuge. Sometimes we think it might be in temporal things like money or perhaps the security of a good pension. And yes, these things have their place, but ultimately all of those things evaporate in the bigger scheme of things where God alone, as the psalmist last week indicated, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God, this God who is my refuge and strength, He is my portion forever. Jesus also encouraged His disciples in times of danger and imminent vulnerability. A passage in John chapter 10, again one of my favorites. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So we're protected all the way through to the end of this life, through even the valley of the shadow of death. I love also another one of my favorites when Jesus prays for Peter. But He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And of course, we know, of course, the prayer of Jesus was answered in that particular case. And then, of course, there are those wonderful doxologies. You know, sometimes we may think it's just a religious formula that we use to conclude a worship service. But listen carefully to this particular doxology. It's a word of glory, if you like, from Jude, chapter 1, verse 24. Now to Him who is able, this is the God of refuge, to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. And so, folks, can I urge you, and I do so myself because I sometimes can be so discouraged and I take my eye off God, but may we all remind each other when the chips are really down, our only hope, God is our refuge and strength. When you build your life out of straw and sticks, the big bad wolf will come and huff and puff and blow your house away. When you build your life out of the solid, enduring bricks of the Word of God and the promises of God and the person of God, in the worst kind of danger, you'll stand firm. And therefore, the second verse, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, Though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. I want to move on to a second point of application, and I'll perhaps try and move a little bit quicker. But not only do we need to recognize that we're vulnerable and that we stand in need of help and God is there to help us, we also need to realize very, very importantly the need to be repeatedly refreshed. Repeatedly refreshed. I'm a bit of a runner. I tried to be a bit of a novice. So I've learned a few things along the way. And I've discovered when I run a park run, 5 kilometers, there's no need to stop for water. When I get to the end, I collapse and go and find a tap and I have some water. When I run a longer distance, 10 kilometers or 21 kilometers or 42 kilometers, and the torture of the comrades, every 3 kilometers, can't wait for the water table. Can't wait to get to that place to be refreshed, to take in water, to be hydrated, to be repeatedly refreshed along the way. And so in the course of our lives, it's not a 5 kilometer park run. It's a marathon. It's the comrades' marathon. As we travel along this pathway, this land of trouble, you get tired, you'll get exhausted, you'll become weary. You'll often feel that you want to throw in the towel and perhaps even just drop down and leave everything behind. And you need to remember Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Now, of course, I've told you the story about Hezekiah's tunnel and the physical water that was made available to people during siege. But I want to use that as an analogy, as a pointer to the spiritual refreshing that we all need along the way. You see, there is more than just the provision of physical water that the psalmist identifies over here, because immediately he goes on, he speaks about God being in the midst of the city. So yes, there is the water from the Gihon River that Hezekiah brought about through the tunnel. But there is God. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. And so in this, again, Hebrew parallelism, it gives us a picture of the outcome. In verse 6, the kingdoms rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, the point I'm wanting to make about being repeatedly refreshed is that there is a great danger back in David's day, the fighting of war and the carrying out of various duties and defending at the city wall against the attackers, but they needed water. And so to spiritualize and apply that lesson as it applies in our relationship to God, I think it's true to say most of us are good at doing things. We like doing things. We run ministries. We participate in meetings. We fix buildings. Sometimes we walk around the streets and we do some outreach. We hand out tracts. We may lead worship. We play instruments. We welcome people at the door. We prepare sermons. We lead Bible studies. We go on mission trips. We attend board meetings and so on and so on. We actively busy. Now, my point is that we get spiritually tired, get spiritually exhausted. We get run down. And so we need to be repeatedly refreshed. And so we should not neglect the God who is among us. We need more of what David prayed for when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. There is a real sense in which our relationship with God brings about a refreshing and a renewing that we stand in need of. And of course, the Holy Spirit is involved in that. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria, John chapter 4, verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then he goes on in verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so the Spirit of God, in the relationship of God, receiving the Word of God, as the Spirit works in us, refreshing us and renewing us and sustaining us, enabling us, not only to strum the guitar or knock at doors or have discussions, those are great things, we need to do them, but drinking in the magnificence and the beauty of who God is in relationship, not becoming like stale bread or I jotted down in my notes here, dry shriveled polony. We don't want to be like a dry riverbed. We need to repeatedly go to Jesus, who said again in another place, Revelation 22, 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The bottom line is, we need to be nurturing our relationship. Be still and know that I am God, taking those moments to meditate and contemplate and to receive from him. And then just a last point from the invitation that comes in our passage in verse 8 and 9. There is a need for us to look. Look and observe and see and believe. See what God is doing. Sometimes we get caught up in the immediate and we forget to see the longer or the bigger picture of things. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. I think it's true that we get caught up in the immediate. But when you look back in history, the fact of the matter is the scriptures are so accurate and so true. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Rome was at the peak of any nation's height of supremacy. But where is it today? What about Persia? What about Babylon? What about even some of the so-called kingdoms that in more recent history with the European countries and colonizing the world and conquering nation after nation? And today, they're nothing. I think some of those nations are the babies in the European Union pleading for money to keep the economy afloat. So kingdoms rise and fall. And so the point that we need to see is look and see what God is doing. He raises up a leader. He raises up a nation. Sometimes he raises up, in fact, many times he raises up unbelievers. But those unbelievers are being used in the unfolding redemptive purposes of God. And so what is God doing with COVID-19? What is God doing in South Africa now? What was God doing in South Africa in past years? What is he going to be doing in future years? So interpret your world in light of the fact that God is not subject to kingdoms and nations and leaders and ideologies and wars and factions and catastrophes. He's above that. He uses that. He works through that and above it and around it. And he's orchestrating and he's moving, providentially unfolding. And so look and see what God has done and what he's doing in your own life as you look back, as I look back in my own life. God doing the good things that we could never have imagined. Stop and pause and reflect. Be still and know that I am God. I will be, God will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. Perhaps we need to remember that the reputation of God is not up for grabs. This is not competition. There's no competition. He's God. has always been God, is God, will always be God, and always have his way. Be still. Acknowledge God, this God who is your refuge and strength. Watch and see. And then, of course, the final verse, and of course the repetition of what is the refrain, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And the broader context of the world, COVID-19 will not have the last word. Neither will the European Union or the World Health Organization or the United States or China or anybody else. God has the final word. And so we must rest in him. I want to close, and I've used this letter. It was actually a text message that Carol got. It was from one of our previous mentors, a lady that was in our church when we were growing up, godly woman, and she got cancer. And just before the last weeks of her life, she sent this text message to her friends, and I want to read it. My dear friends, you need to know that I'm reaching the end of my journey in this life. The oncologist told me no more treatment, and that as things are, I have months to live. Let that not put a damper on anything. Yeah, I was a woman. I knew this woman my whole life. I knew her from little. She walked with God, the example of following him and serving him and consistently submitting to him. I have months to live. Let that not put a damper on anything. Let us enjoy a few last things together and trust in our sovereign Lord who holds my breath in his hands. Let these last months and days glorify God and be days of good cheer. Much love, Marion. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? That's what happens when people live out and sing Psalm 46. What a mighty fortress is our God. And so, Lord, I do pray tonight for all of us. We face difficulties, Lord, varying degrees of difficulty. I'm not sure who's listening here tonight, but, Lord, there could be a full spectrum of little bumps in the road. Lord, this lockdown and this uncertainty we face in the country, the possibility of even contracting this virus, these, Lord, are realities. Others, Lord, who suffer with serious illness, some even with terminal disease, some, Lord, struggling in relationships and even disappointments in other areas, expectations that haven't been realized. But, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that none of this falls outside of the scope of us finding you as our refuge and strength in our day of need. And so we pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you would refresh us and strengthen us, enabling us to face whatever comes our way. But Lord, that we would give you the glory, give you the thanks and the praise for what you do in carrying us, enabling us to run the race of life and to finish well to the glory of your name. Amen. Now, I don't know if there are any questions. Let's grab my phone, and it looks like there are no questions. So we can perhaps just close things off over there. God bless you, and it's Wednesday night. Have a good remainder of the week, and God willing, we're together again on Sunday morning, our service at 9 o'clock. So good night, and God bless.